Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program today. In our last study this week, we're going to be continuing through Daniel chapter 8. We've gotten up to the point which describes the empire of Greece and the death of Alexander the Great in verse 8. It reads this way, "Therefore the male goat grew very great, but when he became strong, the large horn was broken, and in place four notable ones came up toward the four winds of heaven." So here we have a prediction of the leader, Alexander the Great, dying or being broken off, and it says when he's strong or in his prime, and many have indicated that Alexander the Great died at the age of 32 after conquering the known world. And when he died, it says four notable horns come up toward the four winds of heaven. And historically what happened at the death of Alexander the Great, his four military generals divided up the nation and took those territories and ruled over them. And Ptolemy took Egypt, Palestine, and Arabia. Seleucus took Syria, Babylon, and the territories as far east as India. Lysimachus took Thrace and Bithynia. Then Cassander took Macedonia and Greece. And out of those four, what the rest of the chapter describes is out of one of those four nations is going to rise up someone that's going to bring destruction upon the nation of Israel. It's not a prediction about the Antichrist or that last world ruler, but it's a prediction of someone that will come from one of these four kingdoms that will do things similar to what the Antichrist will do. And I believe that this individual is going to serve as a type of what the Antichrist will do in the last days. So let's read this in verse 9. "And out of one of them, one of those four empires, came a little horn which grew exceedingly great toward the south, toward the east, and toward the glorious land." And here is a description historically, and for Daniel's time it was prophetically, of a man called Antiochus Epiphanes. He was the eighth ruler in the Seleucid Empire and reigned from 175 to 164 BC. And that's Seleucus, who was one of the four military generals that took over Syria, Babylon, and the territories as far east as India. Out of that nation came a Syrian ruler by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes. Antiochus was his real name, but he added the name Epiphanes, which means the illustrious one or the great one. We have the Greek term Epiphania, which is a reference to the appearance of Jesus Christ as used in the New Testament. An epiphany is an appearance of God. So he took on this name of God, Antiochus the Great One or the Glorious One, or it could be seen as the Divine One, claiming to be someone great. Antiochus did become great in the fact that his ascension to the throne and his subsequent military campaigns. Antiochus ascended to the throne after the murder of his brother Seleucus Philopater. Demetrius, the rightful heir to the throne, was still alive but was held hostage in Rome while Antiochus Epiphanes took the throne. He succeeded in taking the throne primarily through bribery. After becoming king, he then added the title Epiphanes. Verse 9 also describes a direction in which his empire would grow, which says that he will grow toward the south, which he did. He eventually went into Egypt and took territories there, then toward the east, which was Mesopotamia, and then toward the glorious land, which is a reference to the land of Israel. And according to 1 Maccabees chapter 1, verse 20, it reads, "After subduing Egypt, Antiochus returned in the 143 year. He went up against Israel and came to Jerusalem with a strong force." Now, the book of Maccabees is not an inspired book of the Bible, but it is good and accurate and useful for history. So we have the history of what Antiochus Epiphanes did to the Jews recorded in 1 and 2 Maccabees. And it does describe how he went into Egypt as well as eventually went into the glorious land or to the land of Israel. And he did wreak havoc there, which is going to be described in the rest of the chapter. Verse 10 says, "And it grew up to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host and some of the stars to the ground and trampled them." This is a difficult passage of scripture to interpret, but it's probably a reference to the fact that he persecuted the nation of Israel and trampled upon them. Verse 11 says, "He even exalted himself as high as the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifices were taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down." As we read verse 11, it sure seems to be a description of the Antichrist. And that's why I say that Antiochus Epiphanes and these references are not describing the Antichrist, but he is a type of what the Antichrist will do, where it says he exalted himself as high as the prince of the host. And he did this primarily by adding the name Epiphanes, which means the illustrious one or the divine one. The same thing the Antichrist will do, where he's going to claim to be God and demand to be worshipped as God. And also look what it says he does. And by him the daily sacrifices were taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. What Antiochus Epiphanes did is he went into the holies of holies, slaughtered a pig upon the altar, forced the priest to drink the blood of the pigs, and then set up an altar of Zeus there in the holies of holies. And that's what he did where it says it was cast down. And that is a fulfillment of where it says his sanctuary was cast down. Doesn't mean he's going to destroy the temple, but he's going to desecrate it here through this false worship. Verse 12 goes on to describe more activities of Antiochus Epiphanes. Because of transgression, an army was given over to the horn to oppose the daily sacrifice. The ground, he did all this and prospered. So the Lord allowed him to prosper in that he brought persecution upon the Jews, and it also says that he cast truth to the ground. That was fulfilled when Antiochus tried to replace the law of God with Greek culture. This is all recorded for us in detail in 1 Maccabees chapter 1, verses 29 through 32, as well as verses 52 through 61, and I want to read a portion of that. It says, after 2 years' time, the king, Antiochus, sent his chief collector of tribute unto the cities of Judah. He came into Jerusalem with a great multitude, and he spoke words of peace unto them in deceit, and they gave him credence. And he fell suddenly upon the city, and smote it very sore, and destroyed much people in Israel. And when he had taken the spoils of the city, he set it on fire, and pulled down the houses and the walls thereof round about. And the women and the children, they took captive, and took possession of the cattle. And many of the people were gathered unto them, everyone that forsook the law, and they committed evils in the land and drove the Israelites into hiding places, wherever they could find a refuge. And on the 15th day of the month of Chaslu, on the 145 year, they built altars in the cities of Judah round about. And they burnt incense at the doors of their houses and in the streets. And having rent in pieces the books of the law which they had found, they burnt them with fire. And where was found with any a book of the covenant, or if any found pleasure in the law, the king's commandment was that they should put him to death. Thus they did according to their might unto the Israelites every month, to as many as were found in the cities. And on the 25th day of the month they sacrificed upon the altar a burnt offering. And according to the commandment they put to death women that had caused their children to be circumcised. And they hanged the infants about their necks, and plundered their houses, and slew them that had circumcised them. So what we see here is a type of what will happen in the last days. Those that want to remain faithful to the Lord and His commandments are going to suffer persecution. To me, it's amazing that God could take a man's life that existed many years ago and use it as a prophecy or as a type of what will happen in the last days. The book of Daniel truly is an amazing book. So what we see here is a smaller picture of what the Antichrist will do in the last days, exactly relating to what Antiochus Epiphanes did to the Jews. Verse 13 and 14 add some more detail. Then I heard a holy one speaking. Another holy one said to the certain one who was speaking, how long will the vision be concerning the daily sacrifices and the transgression of desolation, the giving of both the sanctuary and the host to be trampled underfoot? And he said to me, for 2,300 days, then the sanctuary shall be cleansed. Verses 13 and 14 are a difficult portion of Scripture to interpret. Actually, this is one of the passages that the Seventh-day Adventists based their entire theology on and have truly misunderstood the meaning of this passage. They took the 2,300 days to be a reference to 2,300 years. So they fixed the date of the second coming at 1884. Obviously, they're wrong. That should show us that any date setting is extremely dangerous. So what does this 2,300 days represent? Well, there's several suggestions that would fit the context. Some suggest that the phrase 2,300 refers to the number of sacrifices and not days. And there were two sacrifices a day, so that would mean it's a reference to 1,115 days, or approximately or close to the 3.5 year period. And the motive for taking this to be approximately 3.5 years is that some would want to apply this to the tribulation period and say what we have here is a description of the Antichrist and not Antiochus Epiphanes. And I think that's forcing the issue. I believe from verse 9 it's clear that the one that's being described doesn't come out of the Roman Empire, but comes out of one of these four empires that breaks off of Greece. So it's truly not a reference to the tribulation period here directly. The second viewpoint would be that the number of days cannot be pinned down to a specific time period in history, and quite possibly are only an approximate number. So the cleansing of the temple happened 2,300 days after Antiochus Epiphanes committed this abomination. And it's difficult to go back into history and find the exact date and the exact event that this prophecy is related to. The third viewpoint is that the 2,300 days must be taken literally, and we're just not sure what specific event it is mentioning. The closing point can be pinned down to the restoration of the temple. The word cleansed here means to be justified. It's a reference to when the temple was cleansed and had the sacrificial system reinstituted. This happened December 5th, 165 BC, when Judas Maccabeus cleansed the temple and offered a sacrifice on the altar for its cleansing. And this is actually the historical setting where the Jews celebrate Hanukkah each year to commemorate this event. The 2300 days from December 25th, 165 BC would have been September 6th, 171 BC. On that day, Antiochus Epiphanes must have did something to start the counting of this prophecy. The specific event is not known, but it is interesting. And this is the exact year that did mark the beginning of the atrocities that Antiochus Epiphanes committed against the Jews. A fourth explanation is that Antiochus Epiphanes died in 164 BC in a military campaign. And 2300 days from that point would bring you to the year 171 BC. This was the year that the legitimate high priest Onias III was murdered, and the high priesthood went to Jason, Onias's wicked brother, because he bribed Antiochus Epiphanes. And the fifth viewpoint, which is a safe one and which I share, is that we don't have enough knowledge or sufficient knowledge to say with any degree of certainty the exact day this prophecy was fulfilled. I do believe that the 2300 days are exact, but to what specific historical event, no one could absolutely be sure. But we do see in the life of Antiochus Epiphanes a prefiguring or a type of what the Antichrist will do. And later on in the chapter, in verses 23 through 26, it gives further detail of what Antiochus will do among the nation of Israel. And I'm simply going to read this for the last part of our study, and you'll be able to see, as I read, a clear connection with Antiochus Epiphanes and the Antichrist of the last days. It says, "In the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressions have reached their fullness, a king shall arise, having fierce features, who understands sinister schemes. His power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. He shall destroy fearfully, and shall prosper and thrive. He shall destroy the mighty and also the holy people. Through his cunning he shall cause deceit to prosper under his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart. He shall destroy many in their prosperity. He shall even rise against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without human hand." This is a truly amazing prophecy about Antiochus Epiphanes and how he is a type of the Antichrist who is to come. If you'd like to study more in the book of Daniel, I'd recommend Wolvert's commentary on the book of Daniel.